Parshas Shlach Lecha. I'd like to focus on a very, very interesting thought that I saw again from the Tolna Rebbe, together with another interesting thought that from Chaim Shmulevitz. Excuse me. The beginning of the parasha, the first Rashi and Parshas Shlach Lecha, Perikud Gimel Pasuk Aleph. Shlach Lecha Anoshim says Rashi, Loma Nismacha Parshas Meraglim and Parshas Miriam. Why is there this connection? The fi shalokso al iske dibo shdibra bechel, because she was smitten for the language, for loshon hara that she spoke on her brother. V'rishoyim halalu ro'u v'lelokhu musa, and these rishoyim, who we're referring to, the meraglim, saw them and did not take musa. So the first Rashi, this week's parasha, calls them rishoyim. Fair enough. Okay. To draw your attention to the pasuk in pasuk Gimel, the pasuk says, "Vayishach oisam meishem midvaporam api Hashem kulam anoshim roshei bnei Yisrael heima kulam anoshim." What's for kulam anoshim? They're all men, okay? Says Rashi, "Kulam anoshim, kol anoshim shebamirkel loshen chashivus." Every is all chashivus. "Vayisoy shok sheirim hoyu," and that time they were kosher. Okay, so Rashi first calls them rishoyim. And then Rashi talks to them. No, they were tzaddikim, and they left. They were kulam anoshim. Kul oisah shal kulam kishayim hoy. They're all kosher. Fine. Now Rashi later on in the pasuk chof vov, vayelchu vayavoyu el Moshe. Says Rashi, vayelchu vayavoyu. They went and they came back. What's vayelchu vayavoyu? And they came back. Says Rashi, mahu vayelchu. What do you mean they went? We know they went. Lahakish halichosom lebiosom. To compare the way they left to the way they came back. Ma be osam be'itzara, just like the way they came back to the Jews, to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, was down with an eitzara, with a bad piece of themselves, a bad piece of advice, or lashon hara, in a bad way. Af halichosam be'itzara, so too they left in be'itzara in an idea of to do something bad. So the steer is here all over the place. If they are Anoshim, call them Anoshim, Rashi says, Oysa shol ksheirim hoyu, they were kosher. And then the beginning of the parasha says that they didn't learn Musa, they were Rishoyim. And then it says over here that they left with an intention, with a bad intention, like they came back. So what were they? Were they Rishoyim? Were they Tzaddikim? Were they? What were they? The same Rashi. Number one. Number two, what difference does it make? Fair enough. The Gemara says in Kedushin, "Ein machshava ra maserevus hakosh baruch lamaisa." Besides for avodah zara. Okay, this wasn't avodah zara. So what difference does it make if they left with a bad intention? Okay, the end of the day, if they came back with the right intention, everything would have been fine. What difference does it make what intention they left with? Why is that so important? But eitzara. So they're kulam anoshim, we're anoshim. Furthermore. How does Moshe Rabbeinu describe the events of the Meraglim? So look in Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu starts talking about the events of what happened in Perik Aleph, Devarim, Perik Aleph, Pasuk Chof Beis. Okay? Vatikruvun alai kulchem. And all of you came to me, vatoimru, and they said, Nishulcho anoshim lefaneinu, let's send anoshim in front of us, vayach brulonis oretz, to seek out the land. Says Rashi, "Vatukvun alai kulchem." Says Rashi, "Va'arvuvia." In a mixture. Yeah. Now the kulchem means it all came together. Ulahalun ho'aimer vatukvun alai kol roshi shivteichem zikneichem vatoimer heimaranu. Now there's somewhere else where it's talking about for a good purpose. It says they all came organized. The heads came in front. The less choshev people behind. It was done in a much more formal, organized manner. But here, when it came to them, it was a mob. Yeah, it was a mob. When they came over here by the Meraglim, it was a mob. Oysoi kreva, oysoi genes, yilodim mechavnes as kenim, v'sholchum lefneim as kenim mechavnes as a roshim, leches lefneim. Then it was done in an organized manner. Avol kan, v'atikron levon alai kulchem, you all came in a mixed up fashion. Ba'avuvia, yilodim zoichvenes as kenim, the young children were pushing the older people, was Kain Zoichim as a Russian, all the people were pushing the people who had tzaddikim. So Moshe Rabbeinu's problem was telling of Klal Yisrael that, you know, a terrible thing happened by the Meraglim. It was disorganized. It sounds like a yekka. You know, it's like Forget about what happened, the terrible thing with Lashon Hara and Apokiris, and you can't... What was the terrible thing? You weren't organized. As if you were organized, everything would have been fine. That's not the point. The point is, the whole matter turned out to a disaster that Kodesh Baruch Hu never forgave them. What difference does it make? It was organized or disorganized. Why is that important over here? Fair enough? Now, I want to just throw in one more question from Chaim Shmuel Levitz. Chaim Shmuel Levitz asks a fantastic question. He says that we see in the Medrash that Kodesh Baruch Hu made Eretz Yisrael very small. In other words, it usually takes 80 days to walk across Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Eretz Yisrael smaller, as it were. In other words, he compacted it in a way that it only took them 40 days to go right across Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that eventually they're going to have a terrible punishment of Yom Lashonah, a year. Every year they were in Eretz Yisrael, then they have one day. Every day that they were in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to get 1 year's punishment. And therefore, if Eretz Yisrael would take 80 days to walk over, it would be 80 years. And therefore, for the Kodesh Baruch Hu made it smaller in order that it should only take 40 days. What was the chet of the Meraglim? What was the chet? The chet was when they came back, they spoke about Eretz Yisrael in a disparaging way, in a way that was caused hopelessness in Klal Yisrael. They did not see a Kodesh Baruch Hu as being able to look after them. That was what they were talking about. In other words, what was the chet? The chet was what they spoke. What difference does it make how long it took them to walk around Eretz Yisrael? It would have been 80 days. It would have been 150 days. What difference does it make? The chet was when they came back, they spoke Lashon Hara. So what difference does it make? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it smaller, bigger. What difference does it make? What chlal does the punishment of how long it took them to walk around Eretz Yisrael have to do with the idea of their chet? They spoke Lashon Hara, it took them 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. Fine, for every minute that they spoke Lashon Hara then, they should have 1 year in the Midbar. But what's them walking around Eretz Yisrael? What's that got to do with their chet? So there's one answer that answers everything here. And this is that there is a perspective, what the Mekubalim calls, I give the exact Loshen, the Mekubalim call this, bear with me, yeah, Avodas Habirurim. Mekubalim talk about Avodas Habirurim. Avodas Habirurim is a concept that in every single element of bad, there's always something good. And in every single good, there's always something bad. And the purpose of us in this world, whether you're working with Klippus, or you're working with Netzaitis, or you're working with Midas, or you're working with Kedusha, or you're working with Tahara, is always the idea is to be able to extract the good from the bad, and to purify the good, they should be absolutely perfect. But Birurim is a very, very complex matter. It's a massive, massive topic which I know nothing about. But the Birurim is a concept of the idea that everything good has something bad, everything bad has something good. Good wouldn't be able to survive unless it had the Satan keeping it up, and he wouldn't be fighting against it. That's the whole Koyach of the Azazel, etc. And bad wouldn't have any Koyach unless it has something good giving it Koyach. But that is Birurim. But the concept of this is that is the understanding that there's nothing that is absolutely black and white. There's nothing that is absolutely black and white. Every bad person has something good in him, and every good person has something bad in him. Don't have to be cynical. You don't have to know. But we have to understand that nobody is perfect besides those very, very few who died without a chet. Everybody has something to work on. Right? And therefore, the concept of the what they should have learnt, the Meraglim, was that was learnt in the previous parasha. Previous parasha, they come along and they start speaking Lashon Hara Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? What's the Lashon Hara? Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife. Says Miriam to the brother Aaron, we're also Nevi'im, and we don't separate from our spouse. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu separate from his wife? We're all the same, black and white. We're Nevi'im, he's a Navi, everything's exactly the same. So Kosh Baruch Hu said to them, no, there's major differences between you and me. There's all different differences, there's a massive differences, but many differences, look in the Rambam, between Moshe Rabbeinu and anyone else. In other words, don't look at Nevuah as a black and white. There's all different shades of grey and white and black, and there's everything a different shade. And therefore, the purpose of last week's parasha of Chet Miriam should have been for the Meraglim to understand that it's not all about black and white. Things are not so straightforward. Things have to be identified carefully. Give a couple of examples. He brings a couple of examples over here. Is the idea of how much a person's got to search into themselves when he really thinks that everything is absolutely for one purpose, but deep down, but Arvuvia, deep down, there's another reason why. He says somebody came to him for Din Torah. This is Rev Weinberg, the Tolner Rebbe. Somebody came to a Din Torah. There was a particular person here in Eretz Yisrael who won a very, very large prize from Mifal HaPayis, from the National Lottery. And he didn't want anybody to know about it. He didn't want anybody to bother him. On the other hand, he wanted to do the right thing and make sure he gave stockers and give Maisa and do the right thing and make sure that everything is done according to the book. So he asked his very close friend to take care of dealing with his Maisa. And on the condition, do me a favor, please do not say where this is coming from. I beg of you, keep it quiet. I do not ever want anyone to know. This person did an excellent job. He took money, he put it aside, he worked out how much he has, and he looked into various different good causes, and he gave a fantastic cause, a certain amount of money, a large amount of money, and he got tremendous honor for it. Yeah, that's Sadiq, that's Nodiv, and a big shkoyach, a big plaque on inside the yeshiva. And to a certain extent, he felt uncomfortable about it, because he knew very well that it's nothing to do with him. A short while later, he did the same thing again. He gave a very, very large amount of money. And at that stage, it went over the top. The amount of praise that was showered on him, the amount of shvach he got, and talking about him and what a tzaddik he is, and how generous he is, and how moisen nefesh he is, and how grateful we are to him, and how he has saved us. He just couldn't anymore, and he burst out and said, "It's not from me! It's not from me! I'm just a shliach. Yankel gave it to me." Yeah. That was the game of the cat was out of the bag. People heard, "Oh, Yankel, what's that, Yankel? I never knew he had money." Yeah, too late. And they look into it, and they found out where he's got his money from, and Yankel had a long line outside his front door from that time onwards, and then people started asking for different favors, and this Yankel was absolutely, he was horrified. He is his good friend, and he came to the Din Torah and said, "I gave it to this person on the condition that he should keep it confidential." The reason why he said my name is because he's jealous, he doesn't like me, and that's why he did it. I'm willing to swear in the Sefer Torah that the reason why he let my name out is because he's jealous.
What's your money?
And therefore he's, I don't know, maybe apology, maybe some money, I don't know what it was exactly, but he was claiming against him that this person is a only because he has bad feelings towards him, that's why he did it. Friends, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? We've been good friends since we were children. I did it for you beautifully. I just couldn't say the shmach anymore. I couldn't take it. So Weinberg said, "Okay, you said you're willing to swear in the Sefer Torah. You're this friend over here who let the name out. Are you willing to swear that absolutely from the goodness of your heart that you've got nothing against this other man, no jealousy or anything, and that is why you did what you did? Are you willing to swear in the Sefer Torah?" So the man thought, and he thought, and he thought, and he thought, and he said, "No, I can't swear. I wasn't aware of it, but it could be that it's something deep down, that the reason why I let it out the bag is because I didn't want him to have such a cushy life and just sit in his house there and enjoy himself, and there was a bit of jealousy there. I wasn't aware of it, but I can't swear," which is a very honest man. Another Maisa. There's a graphologist, a very, very excellent graphologist, who was in Eretz Yisrael at a certain time. And Rav Weinberg's friend gave the graphologist a letter. And he didn't say who the letter was from. And he gave it to the graphologist to identify the character behind this person. This person happened to be one of the Gedolei Ador. So he gave it to him and his man, and he said that this person is a very busy person. He is a person who has enormous amounts of demands on him, and he is stingy. He has tor ayin. He's a stingy person. He's a kamtan. He's a stingy person. He was very shocked, and he said, "By the way, do you know who this is? This is god Ladol." So the graphologist said, no, you can't really believe in graphology. It always has its exceptions." So he's very upset about it. He's very upset. So he took it to the Pnei Menachem of Ger, who is close with the Pnei Menachem of Ger. Went to Pnei Menachem of Ger. He knew everything about everything. He was a scientist. He was a mathematician. He was a linguist. He was a graphologist. Yes, Pnei Menachem. He was a graphologist. He was well known. He was a graphologist. He knew. He was a man of all hats, including a very beautiful spodik. Anyway, and he said to him, he showed him the letter, and he looked at it and he says, Where's this letter from? He said, "This letter is a letter that he gave as a recommendation to somebody who asked him to give a recommendation for a yeshiva. Where is this yeshiva?" And it comes out, the story comes out, that he gave a letter of recommendation to a yeshiva that is very close to his yeshiva. In other words, this god Lador has a yeshiva that he is trying to support. Somebody else asked him for a letter as a recommendation. Deep, deep down in his heart, there's a certain element there of what's going to be with my yeshiva, because this person is taking recommendation, and which, by the way, is not a terrible thing. He brings over here, you know, he brings all these stories of the Chofetz Chaim, and somebody asked the Chofetz Chaim for the contact list of the Radin yeshiva. "What do you care? Everything comes from Rabbeinu Shlomo." He said, "How can I give it to you? I need it for my yeshiva." Yeah? "No, but Vakashai." "No, not true. I need it for my yeshiva." So therefore, at this moment in time, this godel had an element there of kamtanut. Of kamtanut. Whether it was right or whether it's wrong, for sure it was right. But there's a person is very, very complex. A person doesn't realize sometimes the motive of what's going on. And a person believes honestly that he's doing the right thing, and deep, deep down there's something wrong over here. Kulam anoshim. There's no doubt that these people were very, very great people. They left kulam anoshim. Moshe Rabbeinu would not have chosen them to be Nasiim if they were not anoshim. If they were not great, Moshe Rabbeinu would not have chosen them. That's clear. And that's what Rashi says, kulam anoshim. But, deep, deep down, there was an agenda that they had, that they left with the Eitz Hara. They had deep down an element there of the not being able to identify clearly what is inside, what's going through their thought process. They weren't able to identify any bad that's inside them, and because of that, they weren't able to work on it. If they would have been more self-aware, if they would have learnt Musa, if they would have learnt what story happened by Miriam, and seen not everything is black and white, and understood that when they have an agenda, there may be something mixed inside it, let's sort that out. If they would have learnt Musa and what really worked and who they were, they would never have made this mistake. What was their mistake? Their mistake was the Zohar Kodesh brings down. They realize that living in the Midbar is easy. It's easy. You have the Mon, you have the Be'er, you have Moshe Rabbeinu, it's easy living in a very secure bubble, you're living in that none have covered, you've got no secular kinds of ideas behind you, it's easy. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, that's when it gets tough. You're living in a country, you got to fight for your rights, you got to go to business, you got to live, and therefore if they're Nasiim now, they're going to be demoted when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, because we are not fitting to be the leaders in Eretz Yisrael, which means, and that is why they said, you know what, let's make a plan to stay in the Midbar. Let's stay here, because by doing so, we'll all be safer, our jobs will be secure. Which is exact example of our Avuvia. That is mix of good and bad. It was bad that they had this idea and concept of trying to manipulate history in order they should stay in the Midbar. But it was good because they had another. We're not great enough to bring Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. There's good and there's bad. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, do you know what the source of the whole Chet of the Meraglim were? I saw exactly when he came. When he came, I saw about Arvuvia. The chet and the kuda, the point of what was so terrible was, I could see clearly. What's Arvuvia? Arvuvia is when young are pushing the old, and the old are pushing the young. There is a mixture, there's no clear focus on what is important, what are the priorities, who is who, what is why. Nobody didn't have that. And therefore, when I saw all this happening, I saw Eretz Yisrael disappearing in front of me. I saw this mob of coming over here with not identifying clearly why exactly are we going. What are we doing? That was our Avuvia. So Moshe Rabbeinu pinpointed later on the Chet as being Avuvia. So we've answered now many things. We've answered, what do you mean? Kulam Anoshim. Yes, they were Anoshim. But they were Rishon, they never learned Musa. They never learned to be able to identify that deep down inside them there could be some darkness that they have to work on. And if they would have learned Musa, they would have actually got rid of that. And it's also left with the Eitzer Ra. What's the Eitzer Ra? Not that they knew about it even. But deep down they had the Eitzer Ra. They had the left Bara with the Eitzer Ra. Deep down in the subconscious, they had this Eitzer Ra that they should have worked on. And that therefore is no steer on Rashi. Also we've understood why Moshe Rabbeinu pinpoints Avuvia. Because that is the point. The point is not necessarily what they did. It was how they began the whole process of not being identified carefully what's going on. That is what caused the chet. Now we can understand Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's kasha. Chaim Shmulevitz asked again, why is it that Klal Yisrael were in the midst of 40 years because of the 40 days they were in Eretz Yisrael? That wasn't a chet to be in Eretz Yisrael. The chet was Lashon Hara. To make it relevant to how long they spoke Lashon Hara. Fair enough with Avram? Yeah? Answers Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, and it's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant answer. Absolutely profound. He says when a person speaks Lashon Hara, that is a result of a greater sin. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, you don't speak Lashon Hara on somebody that you understand carefully why that person is doing what he is doing. If a person looks carefully, or don't have chus, or understands clearly the suffering that this person is going through, a guy comes running through a door and starts yelling, screaming, why are you screaming? Why are you say some medrashim? What's going on? If you realize, Khalil al-Khas, the child's just been run over by a truck outside, yeah, you may understand why he's screaming. Right? In other words, the reason why we don't understand people is because, the reason why we judge people and we speak Lashon Hara about them is because we don't perfectly understand at all exactly what they're going through. And therefore, that's a terrible thing. And therefore, if we are able to identify people carefully and understand that it's not all black and white, people aren't like you. You are a careful driver. He isn't. You are an organized person. She isn't. You are able to do things quicker. The other person isn't. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Understand this black and white. Realize that you've also got some bad things wrong with you. That person also got some good things right with them. Therefore, if you did understood that, you wouldn't speak Lashon Hara. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the chet was not coming back and speaking Lashon Hara. The chet was the 40 days that they were looking badly at Eretz Yisrael. If they understood Eretz Yisrael better, if they understood what the purpose of Eretz Yisrael was, how wonderful it was, they would never have spoken Lashon Hara in the end. And therefore, every day that they looked at Eretz Yisrael in a bad way, ultimately that was the chet. The Lashon Hara at the end was only the result of the chet. But the chet took place then. And therefore, if it would have been for 80 days, they would have had 80 days of chatoim. The chet was the perspective, the wrong perspective they had when they were focusing on Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, a fantastic thing. He says, when you speak Lashon Hara, realize in your mind that that Lashon Hara is not the source of your Avera. The source of your Avera very often is a lack of a Haftarayach or Kumeich, is a lack of Dom Lekav Tzchus, is a lack of sympathy, of empathy. If you work on that properly, that is when you'll see automatically everything else falls away. And that is why those 40 years, those 40 days represented, because those 40 years were representing 40 days of chet that looked at something wrong. This is this week's parasha. This week's parasha, ultimately, the chet of the Meraglim was the inability to identify within them a fault. Inability to view a problem in a way that is supposed to be viewed. To understand that everything, not everything's black and white. Learn from Miriam. Understand that problems can be dealt with if you take your negius out of it. Learn Musa. You can love people more, everything else falls away. Learn Musa. This is this week's parasha. This is what it's all about. And Rahman al-Islam, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu never forgave them for this. But let's try and get the Alvuvia out. Let's try and understand. Look at each person and say, no, the guy's not so bad. He's better than me in a lot of other things. That is a message. And as a shem, we will learn this and we'll grow. Eshekoyach.